Okay, let us begin. The bottom of Nun Hey Amud Beis, the last line. Amar of Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar of Yonasan. So we're in the Gemaras. We started talking about yesterday. We're in the Gemaras of dot, Eino Elatoa. If you say this biblical figure sinned, Eino Elatoa. So we spoke about Reuven. We spoke first, we got into this by talking about the four people who never sinned. And that was on the top of Amud Beis. And then we start talking about if anybody says Reuven sinned, Eino Elatoa. Anybody says who B'nai Eli sinned, Eino Elatoa. So now we're up to the next personalities. Yes. I didn't even say anything yet. Yeah.
Even what we said yesterday about B'nai Eli, even if you look at it, what the Gemara answers is still pretty bad.
What the Gemara answers is still pretty bad in terms of what? That they delayed, they didn't bring the Karbanos on time.
Right.
Correct. That is bad, but it's not as bad as the Tanakh seems to describe it. I mean, by all the cases, there's something that's inappropriate. Meaning like moving around a bed, or as we'll see today, what David HaMelech did. But there are certain things that are inappropriate, but it's not as extreme as the Tanakh describes it. Those who say the sons of Shmuel sinned are making a mistake. Eino elatoa. Shemar vayehi kasher zaken Shmuel v'lohalchu banav bidrachav. Shmuel's sons did not follow his path. Bidrachav hu d'lohalachu. They did follow his path, which was an ideal level. Mechdenami lochatu. But also, they didn't totally sin. Meaning they didn't go like their father, but they were still on some lower level. Elmalani mekayim vayato acharei habetza. So what does the psukim mean in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph? That they went after, they followed the betza, they followed literally the profit, they followed the gain. Usually that connotes something not good. Shelo asuk ma'asavim. It just means they didn't follow in their father Shmuel's footsteps. What was the difference? Shei Shmuel hatzadik mechazer b'chol mekomos Yisrael. Interesting. Shmuel hatzadik. You don't find that appellation by many people. But the Gemara here called him Shmuel HaTzadik. We've heard of Yosef HaTzadik. But the Gemara here called him Shmuel HaTzadik. Usually Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaTzadik B'chazer B'chol B'chobos Yisrael V'dano Samba Arehem. Shmuel. How did Shmuel judge the Jewish people? He used to not sit in his own home, but he used to go to all the different communities and judge them where they were. Shireh Mar, this is a halach b'deishan v'shana. Every year he used to go v'sibei beis el, and he used to go around beis el v'hagilgo v'hamitzpah v'shafares Yisrael. And he used to go, that was his level, that he didn't want B'nai Yisrael to be a matriach for him, so therefore he used to go and judge them there. V'heim lo asukein, and they, his sons, didn't do that. El yashru ba'areya, but they sat in their own cities. K'dil harbo schar l'chazanem l'sofreyem, they sat in their own cities, they set up shop to give their own employees more business, more schar, you know, because if you come to on their home court, so then you have to pay more. Either way, so that was the level that they weren't the same as Shmuel Avihem. But it wasn't that they really did batza. Kitanoi, maybe this is a machlokas tanoim, exactly how their actions should be understood. Vayadach rei betza, Rabbi Meir Omer chelkam sha'alu b'fihem. What's chelkam sha'alu b'fihem? So Rashi here explains. Meiser Rishon, or Shmuel, a trivia question, what shevet was Shmuel from? Shmuel was a Levi. Shmuel and Avi was a Levi. So they were allowed to, they were supposed to, there's a mitzvah to give the Levi Meiser Rishon. Right, you have the order, you have Bikurim, that you give to the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. Then you have Truma, Truma also goes to the Kohen. Meiser Rishon goes to the Levi. After you give Meiser Truma, then you give Meiser Rishon. And he takes from the Meiser Rishon, he takes Truma's Meiser, he gives it to the Kohen. But he gets Meiser Rishon. So according to Rabbi Meir, Chelkav Sha'alu B'fihem, they were Shoel their portion. They asked, but usually the Yisraelim chose which Levi they wanted to give it to. But here, the problem was that they asked for it. And Rashi here explains, they were the Bnei Shmuel, they were the Gdolei Hadar. And if the Gdolei Hadar asked you for the portion of Meiser Sheni, then none of the other Levium ever got any. Because they always asked, the Gdolei Hadar asked you, you have to give it to them. So in this way, they caused somewhat of a loss to the other Levium. And Rashi says, V'shar Levium aniyim mitzta'arim. Right, the other poor Levium were upset, right? Because they always asked for it, so that's what they did wrong. It wasn't really gezel directly, but it was causing a loss to others. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Malai Hitilu Abaale Batim. What does that mean? Rashi here explains that they used to give business to certain people. They used to give certain of their assets to certain people and say, you know, invest these for me, do business for me. And then they used to come back to their own courts and they were judged. In other words, a little shochad, a little, they weren't so objective because these people works for them. Again, the Gemara's Exubis and other places tell the amazing stories about certain Amoraim who went so far not to judge cases where they felt they had a certain tia, a certain connection to one of the parties. Like one time, if you held the door for me walking into the shul, oh, I can't judge the case anymore because you already did me a favor. I feel indebted to you, and therefore I can't judge. They talk about you put something over the water to walk on. Tiny little actions. The Amoraim in the end towards the end of Masechus Tzubis, the Gemara describes how they wouldn't judge these cases. So that was the problem here, says Rabbi Yehuda. They used to judge these cases even though they were influenced by the connection with the parties. Rabbi Akiva Omer, third pshat. So those two, that second pshat already is bordering on, they really might have judged the case falsely, because already they were not objective. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kupu Yisirish al Meister Nutlam Zroa. Rabbi Akiva already says we're talking about Gezel. They talk too much, Meister Shein, Meister Rishon. They took more than they were supposed to. So That was the problem. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Matanos not Lebizroa. Rabbi Yossi says, different pshat, they took the Matanos Bizroa. What are the Matanos? So Rashi here explains, has two pshat, then look in Rashi, Dibur Maskel Matanos. Number one, Zroa L'chayayim V'keva, V'heim L'hayu Kohanim. Where there's, by every animal, there are parts that I have to give to the Kohen. So there, let's say there are two, what does the Yisrael eat? The Yisrael either eats Chulin, non-carbonous, or shlamim. Shlamim is kachem kalab. Shlamim is also eaten by Yisrael. But part of it has to go to the Kohen, and part of it goes to me. So by a shlamim, the matana of a shlamim is the chazeh and the shok. It's the chest and the shok, the shok part of the animal. That's by the shlamim. But by all chulin animals, by every animal I have in my home, I have to give part of it to the Kohen. Nothing to do with carbonous. This is a matzah, just like truma, had to do with karbanos and meiser. So zroa l'chayayim v'keva, those are the three parts of the animal, the front leg, the cheek, the keva, the part of the stomach. Those three parts always went to the kohanim. So the problem, according to this third opinion, Rabbi Yossi, was that they weren't kohanim and they took these parts. So that already is more serious of an issue. Or l'shachrita, the second pshat is matnos levia kagon meiser. They took it, and they didn't really give the choice to the Yisraelim to give it to who they wanted to. Okay, four different pshatim. What exactly the Bnei Shmuel did? Some worse, some not as bad. But again, this is the issue of how bad. What exactly they did? Amar Shmuel barachmeini, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Next, kol haomer David chata. Eino elatoe. Anybody who says that David was chote is also making a mistake. Which part of David's life? Gemara doesn't explicate. But Rashi says David chata bibat sheva kodem shekib loget. If anybody says, right, we know the story of David, Bathsheba, Uriah sent out to war. David Amalek, it's unclear exactly. Did he live with her beforehand? What exactly happened? Were they divorced? Why aren't they divorced? The Gemara is going to discuss it here. But if anybody says David Amalek really violated Eishes Ish, so then they are making a mistake. Just keep in mind, before we go further, the Gemara that we had earlier on Daf Lamed. If you remember the Gemara in earlier Daf Lamed Aleph, where we had the discussion of David Amalek's last days, and David HaMelech, there, even before we get to exactly the last days, he asks, when am I going to die? On Shabbos, I want to die on Sunday, I want to die on Friday. Remember that fascinating Gemara? So the earlier, though, in the Gemara is trying to figure out what exactly does the Pasuk mean, V'shabeach Anias HaMeisim. Right, I praise the dead. So the Gemara there had three different pshat. What does that mean? Is it the Schus Avos, or is it Schus Moshe Rabbeinu? Or does it refer to the story that Shlomo HaMelech wanted to go into the Beis HaMikdash, and the gates wouldn't allow him, and the gates closed, and the gates start running after Shlomo HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech finally says, please, do it for my father, do it for David HaMelech. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, because David HaMelech had asked forgiveness from Hashem, please forgive me for my chait. I have to put that together with our Gemara. But that Gemara describes how David HaMelech asked Bez Bechilah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, in your generation, Bnei Yisrael aren't going to know that I forgave you. But in your son's generation, they're going to know. Because the gates opened up for David HaMelech when Shlomo finally says, open up, Su'ushar Mashaychem, Mihu Melech HaKavod. and then the gates opened up, and all Klal Yisrael knew that David HaMelech was forgiven. So the Pashas of that Gemara that was that David did something wrong. That's one Chazal, that David was Chote, somewhat. This Gemara says, Eino Elatoa. Maybe to put it together, yeah, we discussed yesterday the different Mefarshim, right, the Rav Dessler met the way, the Rav Hirsch Derech, different Pshat of it again, if you try to put it together, maybe if you say it was a real chait, like for us, like at our level, that's a Toa. It was a Kuchut Asaira. But that is just, you have to keep in mind that different Chazals point to different directions, whether these Tanakh personalities really were Chote or not. Yeah, Dovi.
It could be that it was wrong, that whatever he did, but
okay, I think it's a similar idea. The question is it similar to Reuven? I think in both cases, you read the Psukim by Reuven, you read the Pasuk by Reuven, you read the Psukim by David, it seems like there was something major that was done. Right, so it could be that maybe it wasn't a chait like we look at it. That's how you have to somehow describe. But again, you look at the Psukim make a huge emphasis by Nasan Hanavi, right? What does Nasan Hanavi say? Ataha Ish! You're the one, right? Well, Nasan Hanavi has this whole description of the rich man who takes away the one shepsula of the little poor man, and Nasan says, what would you do with a rich man who takes away the one? And David Alach says, you should kill him! And Nasan Hanavi says, Ataha Ish! You're the... And David says, Chatasi. You read those, and that's like all of Elul. We read those psukim, and like Shabbos Shubat Rashas would be nowhere without that story. Chatasi, period. No excuses. In contrast to Shaul, that's how the two stories are contrasted. So you read these stories. I mean, obviously there has to be a Pshuto Shomaker also. But you're right. On certain levels, there has to be limited. Okay. So if whoever says David Chodei El Toa Shneamar, he David the Chod Rachav Maskil Vashem Imo. Hashem was with David. Efshar chait bali yado b'shchini imo. Is it possible that a chait was with David and the shchina would be with him? Elamani makayim madua ay. So what do you do with the psukim? There are a lot of psukim. The Gemara asks about one or two. Madua bazisas devar Hashem lasos hara. Why did you disgrace the word of Hashem to do bad? Shebikesh laasos velo asa. He intended to do bad, but velo asa. But he didn't end up doing bad. What does that mean? Bikesh laasos velo asa. Rashi shebikesh lishkav ima kodim shekibla get. He intended maybe to do an improper action before she got a get. Because as we're going to see in a minute, the husband, her husband Uriah, sent her a get from the battlefield. That if he dies, he didn't want her to have to do yibum, meaning marry her brother. So therefore, if he divorces her, so then there's no yibum after gerush. There's only yibum after death. Or maybe he'll die, and there'll be the real case of an aguna, right, where they don't know what happened to the husband. The whole last four prakim of yibamis, right? Edus isha, you don't know. Oshem yeh shavui, etc. So therefore, Uriah, it's not exactly clear what Rashi means, but somehow maybe Uriah was sent his get from the battlefield in order to prevent igun or to prevent yibum, and David HaMelech, you know, he intended, but she already got the get. She was already divorced. Not exactly clear what Rashi is driving at, but either way, it was that he didn't end up objectively doing the aveira. Bikish lasas velo asa. Amar Rav Rebbe to asi mi David mahapich v'dorish b'schusei de David. Rav says that Rebbe, who came from David HaMelech's dynasty, he darshed in his chus because he was from his family. As we're about to continue, okay, keep in mind here something we discussed all the way back also in Brachos Yutes. Anybody remember what I'm about to say? What to say? Akavya ben Mahalalel. Remember the Gemara there? The Gemara spoke about that the Chacham took Akavya to task for suggesting that some of the Rabbanon were biased in how they interpreted the Torah. Because Akavya, they say, Mashkenes HaGiyores, right? You did that one on Shabbos. So Mashkenes HaGiyores, whether a Giyores is allowed to drink the Mesota, and he says, Akavya, or according to others, it was somebody else, but the first opinion of that was Akavya said, of course they said that Mashkenes HaGiyores, that you treated Giyores like everybody else. They were Gerim! And they put him in Cherim, if you remember, that the Gemara says. So to say that the Rabbanan, obviously every Rav is influenced by his background, by his education, etc. But to say that someone has an agenda when they're paskening, an authoritative halachic posek, that's the Gemara in Brachas had told us is very dangerous to suggest that. But here, obviously, you have to say maybe it doesn't mean that. That Rebbe that came from David, what did him have it? Just bischusay? That's what some of the Akronim say. No, it just means that the psukim give you such a picture of a chait, so they try to balance it like it's more of a chutasaira. It's not like they're saying that they weren't objective in interpreting. They're talking about his actions, not his psak. Madu Abazizas Dvar Hashem Batos Hara, Rebbe Omer Mishuna Razu Bikol Rosh Batorah. This Ra, that you did Ra in the eyes of Hashem, is different than every other time Ra is mentioned in the Torah. Shekol Rosh Batorah Ksiv Behuva Ya'as. The Kansiv Lasos. Shepikish Lasos Velo Asa. Fine, so it doesn't say Vayas. He did bad. It was. He had La'asos Hara, meaning he tried to do bad, but in the end he didn't. Okay, as Uriah Achiti, we're continuing dashing the Pesukim by David. Now, as Uriah Achiti Hikisa Becharev, Uriah, you hit, you smite with the sword. What does that mean? Shahaya l'chaladunah b'Sanhedrin below Danta. What was the problem with David? You should have judged him with the Sanhedrin, and you didn't. What do you mean you should judge him with the Sanhedrin? As we're going to see, he was a Morid B'Malchus. We learned from the first parak in Yehoshua. The end of the first parak in Yehoshua teaches us the halacha that if somebody rebels against the king, then he's chayiv misa. He's put to death, and the king has powers. So says the pasuk, says the Gemara based on the pasuk, he should have judged him with the Sanhedrin. So Tosfos immediately asks on top. Tosfos says, what do you mean? The Gemara in Megillah tells us that you don't need a Bezdin for Morid B'Malchus. Just kill him outright. A melech, melechilla, what do you mean? You don't need a top tosis. I mean, it got me noble, the mermachas lo boy ladaini, but or your mermachas have. So what do you mean he needed a bezdin? So tosis says very important. No. To figure out if he is a morib malchus, you need 23. You need a bezdin of nefashas. Aval, la'ayin bedino v'la'asos halanas adin, u'lahada labach eitzar. The gemardin doesn't need a morib malchus. Once you figure out he is a morib malchus, then the king could kill him without the bezdin. But to figure out if he is a morib malchus, so that, for sure, needs 23. Rav Soloveitchik used this Tosfos to explain a very difficult Rav Sadia Gaon. We mentioned this at a Tuesday night shiur, I think, last year. Last year when we do Sanhedrin? Last year? 2 years ago? Whenever it was. There's a machlokas between the Ramban and Rav Sadia Gaon. It's quoted in the Ramban Ala Torah, Parsha Shoftim, I think. And that is when you have, we know that nefashos, the bezin of nefashos, capital crimes, you need a bezin of 23 to judge it. What about the original Kabbalah Zedus? Accepting the testimony all the way at the beginning of the case, does that also need 23, or that could be even with 3? So says Rav Sadia Gaon, 3 is enough. 3 is enough. And the Ramban says, no, what are you talking about? Ramban says, no, Chaf Gimbal, you need 23 also for the Kabbalah's Eitus. The Minchas Chinuch asks a number of questions on the Ramban, on Rav Sadia Gaon. Did I say the right sheet? Yeah, Rav Sadia Gaon, Kabbalah's Eitus, Begimbal, and Ramban says you need 23. So the Minchas Chinuch asks on the sheet of Ramban, the Sover, that the Gemar Din and the Kabbalah's Eidus need 23. He says, you always need 23. The Ramban says, what's the Pashta Svara of the Ramban? Why do you need 23 for the Kabbalah's Eidus? Because it must be, the way that is mostly interpreted, that whatever you need for the Gemar Din, you need for everything earlier in the process. The Gemar Din has to equal everything else. So the Gemar Din needs 23. So the earlier, the accepting of the testimony needs 23. That's how the Ramban is usually understood. Against Rav Sadia Gaon, who says you need 3. Ask the Minchas Chinuch on the Ramban. Sorry, I made a mistake before. On the Ramban, on Rav Sadia Gaon, what about Ir Hanidachas? The Gemara says, bringing in a lot of different halachas here. But Ir Hanidachas, the Gemara says, is judged by a bezdin of 23. Right, Ir HaNidachas, a city that worshipped Avodah Zarah, you judge it with 23. But Gemar Din, 71. You're going to wipe out a whole city of Klal Yisrael, of Jews, bezdin of 71 is needed for the Gemar Din. Ask the Minchas Chinuch, according to the Ramban, the Gemar Din always has to be equal to everything else in the process. So, just like a regular case of Nefashos, 23. So, by Ir HaNidachas, the earlier part of the case should also need 71. If the Gemar Din needs 71, then the earlier case must need 71. That's Akasha, and he does not answer it. He leaves it, but Sarah Chid, he says, many years this has bothered me, and I don't know the answer. So that was the Akasha on the Ramban. Again, the Ramban who says that Kabbalah's Eidus needs 23. Why? Because it has to be equal to the Gemar Din, which needs 23. So if you're already Dachas, has the Gemar Din of 71, it also needs a Bezit of 71. So it's suggested Rav Soloveitchik in the Sefer that he wrote, Kovitz Chidushi Torah, if anybody wants to look it up, on page Kuflam and Beis, he says, no, look at this Tosus. What is the Tosus that we just read prove? What does it say? By Morid B'Malchus, the discussion needs 23. The Gemar Din doesn't need 23. What does that show me? That shows me that the Svar for the Ramban is not that the Gemar Din always has to equal earlier part of the process. No, it's just a separate Din that any discussion of a person's life requires a Bezit of 23. The discussion, the masa umatan of nefashos, requires 23. Totally separate, nothing to do with the Gemara Din. The Gemara Din might need more or less. Might need more, Irinidachas, 71. Might need less, more Bebalchas, need zero. Right, just the king himself. That's what this Tosfos is important for. Because this Tosfos tells me that for masa umatan of a nefashos case, you need 23. Separate from the Gemara Din. The svar for the Ramban against Rav Sadi Gaon is not that. Whatever you need for Gemara Din, you need for the other parts of the case. No! Separate din, that a discussion of a person's life requires a bezin of 23. The Gemara Din might need more, 71, like Irani Dachas, might need less, more b'malchus, needing zero, just the king himself. So that's what's important about the top Tosfos. Okay, let us continue. So we said that's what the Gemara says. He should have done him with the Sanhedrin, and he didn't. As Ishto lakach tol chol isha, and his wife you took for his wife you took for a wife. Likuchen yesh lechava. Really, there was tfisas kiddushin. The marriage worked. Damar shobar achveni amar Rabbi Yonasan. Kol ayotzi lemelchemes beis David. Kosev gekrisas leishto. What Rashi referred to earlier. Anybody used to go out to war in the time of David HaMelech used to write a get to his wife. Why is this? As the Rashi were just referred to before. Two possible reasons. So that their wife, if they got lost in battle, so they don't remain in Aguna, because if there isn't proper testimony, then the wife can't get remarried. Right? A man is allowed to have two wives, midaraisa, but a woman is not allowed to have two husbands, midaraisa. So if the woman does not know what happened to her husband, Rahman al-Islam, she's stuck. So A, they used to send a get for that reason, or to prevent Yibam, so the man wouldn't have to, if they didn't have kids, wouldn't have to marry the brother. So how exactly did this work? When did they send it from the battlefield? What exactly, how exactly did this work? Let's just finish up the Gemara, and then we'll explain it. Shenemar, ves aseres charitzei hachalav ha'ilot tavilas ha'elef. This pasuk is by Yishai. When David HaMelech went to the battlefield to bring his brothers, by Goliath, to bring his brothers food, so Yishai says, take this milk, These cheeses for them, for the officers. Ves achicha tafkei lo shalom. Go check out how your brothers are doing. Ves aruva sam tikach. And take their aruva. What does that mean? My aruva sam. Tani Rav Yosef dvarim hamu'uravim beino lovena. Take what binds them. Which means take the get, which is going to break what binds them. So there's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos that is discussed a lot in the Achronim here, how exactly this worked. Okay, we don't have time to talk about it, but just mention the machlokas. Rashi here says that this was a get al tnai. It was a get al tanai where they said, if I die, then you should be divorced from now. Meaning, because they didn't want them to be misyabim, so therefore if they would die, you know, so then it wouldn't work, because then they would have to marry the husband's brother if they didn't have children. So Rashi here says, get krisis al tanai. Shem yamos te megreshes me'achshav. You can't make a tanai after you die. But if you say the word me'achshav in halacha, me'achshav always works retroactively. So therefore, if you give a get al tanai, That's what happened. Why didn't they send it earlier? Because like before you leave, Rashi says you're tarred. You're like running out. There's a draft. You're rushing out. So you send it right away. Get out tonight. That's Shitas Rashi here. That's Shitas Rashi in Ksubis. That is Shitas Rashi. Does it help for Aguna? Unless it's Rashi here says Sheim Yamus. But the question is, could you? Right, so if you don't know, it might not help for Aguna. Right, it might not help for Aguna. Unless you work it out somehow that if there's a certain time period where I don't come back in, so then that also might kick in. Might be a get out tonight. Tosfos here, and also in Tzubis, does not like Rashi at all. Tosfos quotes Tosfos in Gekrisis, Pirish Rashi, Al Tznai. Tosfos says, I don't like it, because what's the status in between? Before the person dies. What's the status? Even though it's retroactive. Let's say she's Mizana during that time. So there are some Shittas that says she's an Eishes Ish during that time. Or at least a partial Eishes Ish. Until it happens. And we hear talking about David HaMelech. I thought David HaMelech didn't do it. That's the whole point. That David HaMelech didn't do anything. So Rabbeinu Tam holds no. Rabbeinu Tam says you were Megarisher right now. Below Shum Tanai. And then you're Machzer her when you get back. That's what it means. The Gemara doesn't say, Kozi get Krisis Leishto. What does the Gemara say? Period. You wrote a get. So Rabbeinu Tam says they'll divorce their wives before they went to war. That they remarried them when they came back. But that's so for a Kohen, you can't do it because a Kohen can't be Maxer Grushaso, even his own wife. But that's a machlokas in Rashi Tosfos. Again, a lot of discussion. You can look at the Pnei Yeshua in the Hakdama to Seder Nashim talks about this machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Yeah. According to Tosfos, David did nothing wrong. The problem is, according to Tosfos, you have a different Gemara that's a problematic. Because the Gemara in Baba Metzia says, better for a person to be, amazing line, mutav sheyivo adam safik eishes ish, val yabe p'nei chaveiro barabim. And you know that from David, and it calls it a safik eishes ish. So the question is, what do you mean? If she was totally divorced, Why is it a suffix? So it says, so the Tosfos says, because they only did it in private, so nobody knew. So it was a Chil Hashem, but it was a... So there are different Gemaras that point in different directions. But that is the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Right, so how could Kadam go to war? So maybe, right, in the time of David and Shlomo, right, they had the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't, no, not in the time of David, in the time of Shlomo. In the time of David, they didn't have the Beis HaMikdash yet, but the Mishkan. But you're right, maybe the Kohanim, did the Kohanim go to war? The Kohanim didn't go to war, so then they didn't have the issue. Okay, I'm sure it's a Mefurish Gemara, I'm just don't remember. Yeah. Why did it talk about what David did wrong and what David didn't? What about Bathsheba? Look, Bathsheba was the damsel. She was the king was the king.
No, but if
she didn't really have a brera. Which at the end of her life she stood up. Okay, but we don't have to emphasize like throughout the ages, you know, the different people who did things wrong. David HaMelech, the Gemara is interested in it's the saying that you don't want to talk about David HaMelech in a certain way.
Okay,
David HaMelech, if you could prove about Bathsheba. But again, Bathsheba, we always say that there's a principle about women are more passive, Esther Karka Olam. So David HaMelech is the real potential perpetrator here that we want to defend, possibly. Continues the Gemara, second to last, can you lie? Bosu arayta b'cher b'nei Amon, the passage continues, that you killed the cher b'nei Amon. What does that mean? Macher b'nei Amon, yatonen ha-shalav, af or yachiti yatonen ha-shalav. Just like the b'nei Amon, you're not going to be punished for it, because people killed them without your authority. So too, or yachiti, you're not going to be punished for it. My taima, mor b'malchus have it. Like the Gemara I mentioned before, because he rebelled against the king. Where was Uriah mor b'malchus? Dabar lei v'adoni yoav v'avdei adoni al pnei al-sadeh chonim. So Uri is talking to David, and he says, my master Yoav and the servant of my master are encamped on the Pnei HaSada. So how is he rebellious? So Rashi here says, because he called somebody else Adoni in the presence of David. So that was the merit. Tosfos does not think that's so bad, because it's still, he says, Ein Nira, that's not Morib Malchus. So he just thinks it's the end of the Pasuk, where the end of the Pasuk, he kind of intimates to David that this is my wife, and don't do anything with her. And David Amar Lo Lasos, and David Arela already said some things, and Uriah wasn't so happy with it. Again, I have a couple of shiurim on the whole story with David, Uriah, and Bathsheba. But this is one emphasis in the Gemara. Second line. Amarav, Kimainis Bebe David Lomashkachas Be Barmi the Uriah, says Rav, when you read the stories of David HaMelech in Tanakh, you only find one chait, that of Uriah Hachiti. Dichsiv, Rashi says, that only Uriah, that he caused Uriah to die, but he didn't do anything wrong with Bathsheba. But he sent Uriah to the front lines when he shouldn't have. That was a chait, says Rav. But the other actions were not chatam. Dichsiv, Rachmed Var Uriah Hachiti, only regarding that. Just 1 minute. It's something that we had a shiur about in the past. But at the end of the day, we describe, we solve David HaMelech, all these actions. But even if we describe the nitty gritty, this is David and Bathsheba. This is how the Melech HaMashiach, his roots come from David and Bathsheba. And in the shiur, I mentioned that this seems to be a pattern of these type of relationships as the lineage of Melech HaMashiach. Now, you would think Melech HaMashiach is the purest, the most pristine. Lot and his daughters, Yehuda and Tamar, David and Bathsheba. You know, what's going on here? This is Melech HaMashiach we're talking about. Ruth and Boaz. I mean, you know, it's not just one relationship that we're trying to defend. Okay, each one of them, you could say everything was fine, but it smacks of something. So, again, we had just to remind you, or those of you who weren't here whenever I gave that shiur, there's two approaches that we've had in the past. There's one, Alpi Kabbalah, that the Eim Avanim Smecha mentions in the second parak, Mavur B'Sifriya Mekubalim, that whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do something great for Klal Yisrael, so he has to enclothe it with like dirty, disgusting clothing so that the Midas Hadin, we had Midas Hadin yesterday, isn't Mekatre. Right, what's the whole issue of Rosh Hashanah? Right, Arbeiv es HaSatan. Right, we don't bench Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and we don't. The Levush says we don't start Parshas Brachos on Rosh Hashanah. Arbeiv es HaSatan. He doesn't know it's Rosh Hashanah. And all of these, what is all these things? So he says Kedesh Yasiach HaSatan Daito. The Lomar, you know, it's not, you know, nothing's happening. So says he brings other examples of this as well. That that the luchos shnios compared to the luchos rishonos, it had to be covered, it had to be not in public. So maybe that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring the Melech HaMashiach, this great good for the world, in these types of coverings, because it's so good, he had to be clothed it, so the Makatrigim don't have power. Okay, that's Alpi Kabbalah, one approach. But then the Shem Yishmuel is quoted in a beautiful article by Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldach, the former Rosh Yeshiva of Keren Biavne. He quotes the Shem Yishmuel in a Sefer Kavod Arav put out a number of years ago, where the Shem Yishmuel quotes the Kotzker. De'inyan ha-malucha, he says, this is an amazing, particularly about David and Lod and his daughters. He says, what do you need? The Moab, right, Beirut, and Moab, Ammoni, v'lo Ammonis, Moab, v'lo Moabis, and all this. Said the Shem Yishmuel, to be a melech is not a totally Jewish trait. Because what's a melech? We just have the concept of Morad b'malchus. You have to have authority over others. You have to be forceful. The Gemara says in Yevamos that we're Rachmanim, Baishanim, v'gom l'chasadim. By nature, a Jew can't be a melech. That's not who we are. Says the Shem Yishmuel, it's an amazing thought. David HaMelech needed some Moab blood in him. He needed some, you know, load for Shnei Benosav. He needed some of this in him in order to make him a good king. Shaul wasn't a good king. If you look at all the Midrashim, contrast. Shaul was a tremendous tzaddik, but he wasn't a successful king. It didn't follow after him. Why? Because he had Rachmanis, and he didn't kill Adagag, and a number of stories. David HaMelech was independent. David HaMelech wasn't influenced by the Am. If you look at the Pesukim in that story by Shmuel and Shaul, when he didn't kill out Amalek, the Pesukim keep emphasizing, the Am made me do it. But David HaMelech needed these murky roots, so to speak, from Rus and etc. And he has an Arichus there. He has a lengthy discussion, but maybe that's two approaches, two ideas, a Pesach, again, part of a larger discussion, why this history took place. Okay, we got to move. Abaya Kishisha, Rami the Rav of the Rav. Abaya asked the Syrian Rav. Mi Amar Rav Hachi, did Rav say this, that Uriah was the only chait? V'hamar Rav kibbal David Lashon Hara. Right, Rav said David accepted Lashon Hara about a certain individual, which we'll see in a minute. Kasha, okay, so it's a Kasha. Gufa. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar kibbal David Lashon Hara. Rav says David HaMelech accepted Lashon Hara. Dechsiv, v'yomer lo HaMelech eifohu. David asks Tziva, David is looking for a descendant of Shaul. He wants to find a descendant of Shaul, the previous king. So he asked Tziva, Eifahu, where is Mephibosheth, who heard, David heard that he was the one descendant left of Shaul HaMelech. So he's looking for Mephibosheth. Where is he? So Vyomer Tziva LaMelech, Hinehu Beis Bachir Ben Amiel, he's at the house of Beis Bachir Ben Amiel, below Davar. Below, or Melo Davar. But it's a Korean Xifir, Lamed Vav or Lamed Aleph. But Tziva was trying to tell him, below Davar, Lamed Aleph, he doesn't know anything. He's empty. Don't worry about him. Viksiv, that was the beginning of the Lashon Hara. Viksiv, Yishlach HaMelech Vayikachay B'Beis Bachir Ben Amiel, Melo Davar. And it says that David HaMelech found him and he was full, meaning he was a big Talmud Chacham. Michti, Chazi the Shikra, who, so what happened? David HaMelech realized that he was, that Tziva was a chakran. But still, what happened after? Gihadar Ashani Lavei, another time Tziva told him something about Mephibosheth, and David HaMelech still listened. He accepted the Lashon Hara, my time at Kibbalmine. Why did he accept it? That was a chait, says Rav. Dechsev, where did he accept it? Vayomer HaMelech Va'ayyeh Ben Adonecha. Again, he asked Tziva, where is the son of your master? Vayomer Tziva LaMelech, Hinei Yosheb Yishalayim. He's in Yerushalayim, and he's meaning, and this was at the time of the rebellion of Avshalom, and he's telling him that, oh, he's with Avshalom, he's on his side. You know, he's rebelling against you. How do you know that David accepted the Lashon Hara? Because he says to Tziva, here, take everything that belongs to Mephibosheth. You can have it. Great, wonderful, thank you, David, for all these wonderful gifts you gave me. So Rav says, he accepted the Lashon Hara, and therefore, that was a problem. Shmuel Amar, no. Loki b'davar Lashon Hara. Shmuel says, no, David did not accept the Lashon Hara that Tziva said. Dvaramani karam chazabe, no, but it was based on things that he saw in Mephibosheth's actions. That's why he was choshesh about his behavior. Dechsiv, as it says, Mephibosheth ben Shaul yarad likras hamelech, when Mephibosheth came to see David HaMelech, lo asa rag, lo asa svamo, vesbegadav lo kibes, he didn't get dressed up to see the king, right? He didn't cut his mustache, he didn't wash his clothes, so David HaMelech thought that it wasn't covetic. Maybe he was upset that his David was king and not his family. Vixiv ahiki by Yerushalayim likras hamelech, therefore Shmuel HaMelech says it wasn't Lashon Hara. But now this is a continuation of the story. When he came to see the king, says, why didn't you come with me, Mipi Boshes? But Yom Radin Adonia Melech, Avdi Rimani, say he says, my servant Siva, he tricked me. Ki Amar Abdecha Ech Mashaliach Amar Ve'erkav Alea Ve'elech Hazam Melech. I wanted to come, but he tricked me. Ki Piseach Abdecha Ve'yiragab Abdecha El Adonia Melech. He told Lashon Hara about me. He was Meragel on me. Ve'Adonia Melech Melech Elokim. And really, I believe you, David HaMelech, you're the greatest. Ve'aseh Hatov Ve'inecha. And do what you think is right in your eyes. Okay, so you take your portion back. Whatever, I'm just happy that you're there. I'm happy that you're in position, says Mipi Boshes. And that's all I care about. Whatever I get. So now the Gemara continues. After this whole discussion, which we prove that Shmuel holds that David HaMelech did not accept the Lashon Hara, but it was based on certain actions, the Gemara continues that Mephibosheth, though, had tainas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't have tainas on David, but on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hainu dechziv uben Yehonasav Meriv Baal. The son of Yehonasan was nicknamed Meriv Baal in Divrei Hayamim. Bechim Meriv Baal Shemo v'halom Mephibosheth Shemo. Really, his name was Mephibosheth, not Meriv Baal. Ela mitoch she'asa Meriva im Baalav Yatzasa, excuse me, Baskov Amrlo Nitzab Natsa Bar Natsa. Right? Because he had Meriva, he had a machlekes with Hashem. A Baskov went out and called him a Natsa. A Natsa here doesn't mean a Netze going out. Natsa is from the word V'chinatsu Anashim Yachtav. It says in the Torah. Fighting. A quarreler, a fighter, the son of a quarreler. So that's what the Baskov went out to describe Mephibosheth. Natsa Hada Amran. He himself, where do you see he was a Baal Meriva from this story right now? Because he had a Taromes, he had complaints against Hashem. Bar Natsa, the descendant of a Natsa, Dechsiv by Shaul. Vayavu Shaul Adir Amalek Vayar Banachal. Right, Shaul went to this is the story of Amalek, and he fought in the riverbed, literally. But Chazal Darshan Amar Ravmani Al Iske Nachal. What does that mean, Al Iske Nachal? That means the top Rashi on the Amud explains, the Chazal that some of you might be familiar with, that Shaul HaMelech thinks, when he's about to kill all the men, women, and children of Amalek, he says, Banachal, I know there's a halacha in the Torah of Egla Arufa. Talking about, right, it takes something to Nachal Eson, Eglar Rufa. There's an anonymous corpse in between two cities, and you have to bend over backwards and try to figure out who it was, and the whole city has to come, and the Zakenim have to wash their hands. We didn't do it. This whole thing, this whole process, procedure, ceremony. So Shaul says to himself, we care so much about one human life? I'm going to kill out a whole nation? How is that possible? Hashem, so he questions HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sivui. So that's what it means here. Aliske Nachal, he also, just like Mephibosheth, Shaul, his grandfather, he also was a Natsa, you know, discussed things inappropriately with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, that is, there's a lot to talk about by Yerni Dachas and that story, but we'll leave that for now. Again, but in the Mefarshim on that Haftorah, that's the Haftorah for Parashat Zachar, and that is wonderful psukim in the Tanakh. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Fine. B'shosh Amar David Mipi Boches, Atav Etziva Techal Gwet HaSadeh. When David told Mipi Boches, you and Siva split up the field. Yotza Basko V'Amro Lo, Rechav V'Yerav V'Yechal Gwet HaMelucha. Once he said that, the Basko went out and said, the Malchus is going to be split. Rechavam and Yeravam. Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, V'Yeravam, Yechal Gwet HaMelucha. Right? The Malchus of Klal Yisrael was split after Shlomo. Right? First you had Shaul was king, David, Shlomo, and after that, forevermore, until Mashiach, right, there's Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Beis David. Two lines. Malchus Beis David is David's family, that's Rechavam, and then Malchus Yisrael, the other Shvatim, were followed Yerubam. Amar Yehuda Marav, El Malei Lokibol David Lashon Hara. Again, these lines like this are somewhat difficult to understand, but it's telling us a message. If David wouldn't have accepted the Lashon Hara, right, this is Rav Shita, Lashitaso, Lo Nechlecha Malchus Beis David, Velo Avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah, Velo Galino Me'artzeinu. If David wouldn't have accepted Lashon Hara, then none of the problems that followed would have followed. Okay. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan. Next case. Kala Omer Shlomo Chata Eino Latoeh. Anybody says Shlomo HaMelech sinned also is making a mistake. Rashi says Bavodah Zarah. First skinny line. Bavodah Zarah. Right, the Mefarshim talk about what about the case that he took too many wives and the case that we're going to just talk about right now, etc. So maybe that he was Toeh, but at least regarding Avodah Zarah, he wasn't Toeh. Shenemar v'lohay levavu shalemim Hashem alakav kilevav David Aviv. The Pasuk says he wasn't like David his father. He wasn't like David, but he also wasn't Chote. What does it mean that when David got older, his wives turned his heart? No. Interpret like Rav Nasan. The Rav Nasan, Rambam, he lays Zikna Shlomo Nashav, he does Levavo. One part of the text, turned his heart. The Haksiv, Kalev of David Aviv. Kalev of David Aviv, who delo, Hamechlanami Lochata. The other part of the text, he didn't sin, he just wasn't like David. Had he to put the two psukim together? Hachi Kamar, he lays Zikna Shlomo Nashav, he does Levavo, Lachalach, Zachary Elhim Acherim, Velohalach. It means they tried to turn his heart, but he didn't get swayed. He didn't get turned. It says that he built this Avodah Zarah. So what do you do with that pasuk? Shebikish livnas lobana. No, he wanted to build the Avodah Zarah, but he didn't. The Achronim point out here, the Shoram Sen of Halacha quotes it. He wanted to do it. The Gemara Kedushin says that Avodah Zarah is the one Avera that you're held culpable for the Machshava even. Right? Even if you think about doing Avodah Zarah, all the other, every other Avera, I want to eat treif. Doesn't count until I eat the treif. But Avodah Zarah is even the Machshava. So what do you mean? Bikish livnos. So you're already culpable. Ready culpable for Avodah Zarah. So they point, so the Hashem Zayin Balacha quote a Rush, quote a Rush in, I don't remember where, a Rush in Rosh Hashanah, who says that no, but Machshava Avodah Zarah only means when you accept it for a God in your Machshava. So that's where the Machshava is mitzarif to the eventual Maisa when you serve it. But if you just think about building an Avodah Zarah, so that without accepting it as a God, so maybe that's what Shlomo HaMelech did. He was building it for his wives to keep his wives happy. But it wasn't that he actually did Avodah Zarah. Elamayata continues the Gemara. Oz Yiv, you're telling me that Yivne Shlomo, future tense, means he didn't really do it. He just wanted to. So Elamayata Oz Yivne Shlomo Mizbeach Lashem Shibikish Livnas Volbana. So the puzzle by Yeshua also means he only wanted to. It says Yivne. He built him his Mizbeach. He only wanted to build him his Mizbeach. No, El Dabana. Hachanami Dabana. So it has to mean he built it. So here too by Shlomo must mean he built it. So different shot. Elik and the Tanya said, how do we get out of the steers in the psukim? From the following brayser. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Vesabam, Asher Alpnei Yerushalayim. Asher Bimin Lahara Mishcha, Asher Banu Shlomo HaMelech Yisrael, Asher Os Shikot Sidonim. Right, the bamos that Shlomo HaMelech built across from Harazesim. So again, the Gemara Darshas. Efshar Ba'asav Lobiram, Yehoshavav Lobiram, Asher Ba'yoshia Ubiram. The continuation of the psukim, right, it's... This is the pasuk is talking about Yoshiyahu HaMelech destroying all the bamos that were built from Shlomo HaMelech. So says the Gemara, Yoshiyahu destroyed them? What do you mean? Many tzaddikim kings before Yoshiyahu destroyed all the Avodah Zarah. Why does the Gemara say that Yoshiyah, who was one of the great tzaddikim kings, destroyed it? The earlier kings destroyed it. No, but the pasuk is trying to have a comparison between Shlomo HaMelech building the Avodah Zarah and Yoshiyahu HaMelech destroying the Avodah Zarah. Even though Yoshiyahu HaMelech didn't actually destroy all of them, but because he finished the job, because he did part of it, that the pasuk praises him for it. So the Shlomo HaMelech, in the opposite way, he didn't really do it because he had part of it. He allowed it to be done, so they call it as if he did it, but really he didn't do it. I had another pasuk says Shlomo did bad in the eyes of Hashem. He should have prevented his wives from doing it, and this connects us to all the past two daftim that we've had. The discussions of if you don't prevent somebody from doing an Avodah Zarah or doing an Aveira, even that is your problem. Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Noach lo, lo oso tzadik shehi shamash l'davar acher, vayikasi bo v'yasar Rabbeinu Hashem. Shmuel says, it would have been better for Shlomo HaMelech to been a mishamesh for Avodah Zarah rather than have recorded in Tanakh that he allowed Yashara Beinei Hashem. To have that pasuk recorded in Tanakh, which means that he didn't give proper tochacha, again, emphasizing that idea, so then it would have been better to be a mishamesh for Avodah Zarah. Just, I wanted to mention a gemara yesterday, I forgot, in the whole issue of tochacha, that how difficult it is. There is a gemara, I think, in Erechin that says that there's nobody that can give proper tochacha b'zman hazeh. There's a line like that, one of the Amorah. So that just shows how difficult it is to give tochacha. But again, we have to do our best. Just forgot to mention that Gemara yesterday. When Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Paro, hechnisalo elef mini zemer, she brought into the marriage 1,000 musical instruments. And she said to him, kachos in Avodah Zarah plonis, kachos in Avodah Zarah plonis, below michaba. So again, a lot of these chazals say he allowed the avodas. Marrying these women were not good. And the Gemara never says, according to the way Rashi learned it, that was a chait to marry these women who were over the Avodah Zarah. Zara. But he never did Avodah Zara. That's what the Gemara is emphasizing. That they brought in all this stuff, but he wasn't Moche. When he married these Bas Paro, Gavriel HaMalach came down and stuck a reed in the water. Va'alabo Sirton, and dirt and sand formed around it. Va'alab Nimne Krakolo Sharomi, and the Roman Empire was built from that reed. On the day that Yeravam ben Nevat, right, the king, when the Malchus was split, he set up Avodah Zarah and he tried to convince Bnei Yisrael not to be all the regal to the base of Migdash. He said, come to my Avodah Zarah instead. So the day that he set those up, Nibnet Srif Echad, Vizeo Italia Shal Yavan. There was a little hut, a little shack that was built, and that eventually became the Greek Empire. Obviously, there is a drash connection between these Averos and these eventual historical events. Anybody who says Yoshiyahu HaMelech ever sinned, he is making a mistake. He did right in the eyes of Hashem. He followed his father David. It sounds like he was the greatest Baal Tshuva in the world. So how could you say that he never sinned? The word says, no, it doesn't mean it was about Shufa. It just means he became king when he was 8 years old. It just means when all the judgments that he did when he was 8 to 18, he was machzir the money. The Torah quotes this as a source that a judge has to be 18 years old. And he goes Yerushalmi, that maybe 13 years old, but he quotes this that maybe he gave the money back because he didn't feel himself a dayan, he shouldn't have been a dayan then. But then Gemara says, Shemon Toman Alta Mizevras and Lazer. Maybe you're going to tell me the money he gave to Reuven from Shimon, he took back from Reuven and gave to Shimon? No. Tamalomar Bachoma Odo, Shasalam Mishalo. He was maxed with the money from his own treasury. And that's what it means he was shove. But really, it doesn't refer to a regular Baal Tshuva. Upliga the Rav, but this is argues on Rav. Damarav Ein Lachal Goldo Baal Tshuva, Yasmi Yeshio Bedoro. Rav said, there's nobody, no greater Baal Tshuva than Yoshio HaMelech. And also one other person in our generation. Umanu, who? Abba Avua Dribirmia. Bar Abba. The father, his father of Dribirmia Abba. Va'armila, some say it was Acha Achua to Abba Avua Dribirmia Abba. The brother's brother's father's father of Dribirmia Bar Abba. Tamar Mar, Rabbi Abba, Va'achi Achai Havi. Rabbi Abba and my brother were brothers. Amar Rabbi Yosefa, Orecha Vadarenu. Also another person was a great Baal Tshuva in our generation. Umanu Ufan Bar Nechemia, Reish Galusa, this person. Bahainu Nasan Ditzitzisa. It's also referred to as Nasan, the one who shines. What does this mean, who shines? Tosva says that he had a candle on his head because he was such a great Baal Tshuva. Rashi gives another pshat. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Avi Yisivna Bepirka, I was sitting in Shir, Vahavi Ka Menam Neim, and all of a sudden, Chas V'Shalom, I fell asleep a little bit, that was Menam Neim. V'Chazoi V'Chilma T'Kapashi Yodav V'Kiblei. And I saw in my dream that a Malach was coming and accepting him with open arms. Tomorrow we start by Me'isha. Okay, just a heads up, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow, and those of you out there might not know this, but everybody here knows, tomorrow Be'ez Hashem will be my last shiur before the summer, but I'm leaving the shiur. There will be a shiur on the web, and here, and in very capable hands, my partner Menachem Kagan will be doing the lion's share of the shiur. A lot of it we've learned together this past year, Masechet Shabbos, the Gemara's in Klal Gadol, etc. I encourage and strongly urge everybody to continue listening and continue coming every day. And there are other people that are pinch hitting once a week. And it'll be a team effort, but Be'ez Hashem should be keep going strong, and I'll be back Be'ez Hashem, I'm not exactly sure of the day, I think August 23rd will be the day that the first year back, it'll be in Kuf Yud Beis or something like that. But Be'ez Hashem, it's great daf coming up, keep going, and Be'ez Hashem will share Torah more soon. But Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow I hope I'll be here too, and it'll be the last year.